The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you ever never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Those poor Pharisees, huh? They get a bad rap all the way through all the Gospels. Jesus is always embarrassing them in front of a crowd, showing their hypocrisy and their shortcomings, and the Pharisees were just religious leaders. I always have to take pause when I read about the religious leaders in Jesus' stories. They were Jews. They also trace their religious life back to Abraham. They also trace their religious customs and laws back to Moses, the Mosaic law. It's not like the things that they were saying were out of left field. It's not like the laws that they were defending, they're defending them differently than Jesus was, but it's not like they just arrived in town with this off-the-wall message that Jesus was rebuffing. They're quoting the same prophets as Jesus, and the priests are reading in the temple, they're reading from the same sacred text that Jesus is quoting. They're doing what they have always done. They're preserving Jewish tradition and law like it's their job, because it is. Making sure people were obeying God's law was the call on their lives. So here we have another such story where Jesus squares off against some Pharisees who are upset because it's the Sabbath and Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field and they pick some grain. The Pharisees are watching, and they not only see Jesus and his disciples walking and traveling in the hot sun on the Sabbath, but the disciples pick some heads of grain to nibble as they journey. Now, that was totally legal. They were not stealing. That was called gleaning, and people who owned fields were called by the law to leave enough so that people who were journeying could eat. So they're not stealing the grain. That wasn't the problem. The problem is that if you doing the hard work of journeying in the hot sun and then bringing in the harvest, because if you have to hire a laborer to bring in the harvest on a normal day, then doing whatever that laborer would do on the Sabbath is called work. So even the act of harvesting a stalk of wheat, or two or ten, whatever they needed, it's too much. It's labor. And that's unlawful on the Sabbath. Why can't they just be like everyone else and shop and cook and prepare all the food for Saturday on Friday before sundown, for the Sabbath is a day of rest? And on Saturday, on the Sabbath, you just go to the kitchen and serve yourself a plate of the work that you did yesterday. So the Pharisees point this out to Jesus. And Jesus tells them a story from the book of 1 Samuel of a time when David is on the run from King Saul, who wants to kill him. And David, a fugitive, is hungry, and he needs something to eat, and he needs to bring some food to some men that are hiding in a certain place waiting for him, and they are going to be protecting him from Saul. So he tells a priest to give him the bread that's there in the temple when he walks in, and the priest says, "The only bread I have is the consecrated bread. It's called the bread of the presence." And now the bread of the presence is prepared only for priests. It is a symbol of the lasting covenant between God and Israel. It's not communion as we understand it, of course, but it is bread that has been baked and prayed over and set aside as a holy symbol from God. And it is only for the priests. David says to the priest in this story that Jesus is telling about David, David says to the priest, "The men I'm meeting, their bodies are holy and they deserve to eat." And the priest gives him the consecrated bread. He gives him this bread, this holy set-apart bread, to take with him and pass around with his men, likely not priests, and just eat like lunch. The bread that has, according to Leviticus 24, been baked from the finest wheat, set on the altar in two stacks of six loaves with incense burned near it, to symbolize that it is also a burnt offering, but not burning it so that the priests can eat it. This bread of the presence will always be there, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. It will always be offered and provided for the priests because it is a symbol of God's alwaysness with Israel. That is the bread the priest gives David to bring to his non-priest men who will sit on the side of the road and munch it. So the Pharisees see Jesus and his disciples plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath and call them out on it. And Jesus' response to that is to tell a story that the Pharisees know about David. And it's about David being given the holiest of bread on the Sabbath by a priest to bring to some hot and hungry guys who are definitely working on the Sabbath. And then to finish off his story, the point that Jesus is making, he says, the Sabbath was made for people, not the people for Sabbath. That is, God gave us Sabbath to make our lives better. God did not give us Sabbath so that our lives would have one more set of rules to try to measure up to. Sabbath is a gift of nourishment. It's meant to help us be healthy and whole. So today's story of Jesus and his grain-plucking disciples and the Pharisees continues. It says, again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man who was there who had a withered hand. They, the Pharisees, watched him, Jesus, to see whether he would cure the man on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So it turns out that the Pharisees don't actually love the law. If they loved the law, if they would do anything to protect it and make sure that it is kept, then they would not have watched to see if Jesus was going to break it or not. They would have stopped him. They would have stepped in to protect that which they love. If they loved the law and were fairly sure it was about to be broken or blasphemed or whatever, they would step in. But more than the law being kept, they wanted to catch Jesus in the act so that they could publicly accuse him of his faithlessness. And moreover, and maybe more importantly, they do not love Jesus. Jesus is their neighbor. And loving your neighbor and caring for the hungry are definitely in the Mosaic law. If they loved this neighbor, Jesus, and they believed that breaking the Sabbath was really going to harm him, that Sabbath law is super important in the life of a person and not keeping the Sabbath can cause spiritual harm, And since they love this Jesus, if that were the case, because they are to love every neighbor, they would want no spiritual harm to come to him. They would rush in and try to protect him from such spiritual harm. But no, they sit back and they watch to see if he'll do something unlawful on the Sabbath. And Jesus knows that they are watching. He knows that they love being right more than they love the law. He knows that they love pointing out what they think are his flaws more than they love him. And the guy with the withered hand does not ask to be healed. He does not ask to be the center of a story. Jesus just calls the man forward and asks the Pharisees a question. What is the Sabbath for? For good or for harm? To save life or to kill it? And the Pharisees take the fifth. They don't answer his question. They've come to catch him in the act and to watch him break the law, and yet they will not engage in the conversation with him. They don't actually love the law or the man in front of them. They love being right. They love their own interpretation of things. Even when God is standing in front of them, quoting their ancient scriptures, asking them perfectly reasonable questions about the intention of the law, about Sabbath, and they don't answer him. It says he looks at them with sadness and anger. Do you see our Lord's face right now? He's got sadness and anger pulling at his face. It says he's grieved by their hardness of heart. And he doesn't speak to them. He says to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And in the stretching out of the hand, it is restored. In the moment of healing, Jesus is saying, the rules are not the treasure. They only point you to the treasure. The treasure is always love. Love of creation, love of all of God's gifts, love of each other, of relationships, unity. And wanting wholeness for every last neighbor, including the man with the withered hand. That's what happens when you love someone. So at the moment that the man with the withered hand is restored to health, the moment when in the synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus does exactly what he was born to do, bring wholeness and healing, the Pharisees turned on their heels and went immediately to find someone to help them destroy him. I tried to defend the Pharisees at the beginning of this sermon. I said they were just doing what they believe is the call on their lives, that they are defending the faith and the traditions and the law. And I think I want to defend the Pharisees because in defending them, I get to defend myself and I get to defend you. If I can somehow make a way for the Pharisees to be right when they are recalcitrant, when they are stubborn and won't give because they are preserving things the way that they are, then maybe I can do that for us. But it doesn't work that way. It works this way. We stand stubbornly unmoving, knowing that we are right. We acknowledge that others might be suffering, but we have these rules, you see. Others might be marginalized, but this is just how things are. Others might be hungry, but we already gave our 10%. We were already generous according to the law, so we're really sorry that some of our neighbors will die of malnutrition today, but our consciences are clean because we have kept the law. We point to the law and Jesus points to love every time. Not just warm and fuzzy love. Love that brings wholeness to every last neighbor is going to cost us something. We know that's true because we are Christ followers. And when you follow Christ, you end up on a cross. But that's okay, because those crosses aren't permanent. And death doesn't make the rules. Love does, every time. Amen.